Radio Prague News.
President Václav Klaus is set to travel to the Republic of Azerbaijan for a four-day official visit next week. The Public Affairs Party has called on the government to include the bill on public tenders in the reform package to which it will link its future when it asks Parliament for a vote of confidence in June. And according to a fresh poll, the level of the Czech satisfaction with the EU has reached an all-time low. President Václav Klaus is set to travel to the Republic of Azerbaijan next Monday for an official four-day visit to the country, which is Eurasia's largest. The Czech president will meet with his Azerbaijani counterpart Ilham Aliyev, as well as the country's prime minister Artur Azizat and other senior politicians. On occasion of Mr. Klaus's visit, a number of bilateral agreements between the Czech Republic and Azerbaijan will be signed, including an agreement on the mutual protection of investments. Azerbaijan is rich in oil and gas. Energy is one of the fields in which the Czech Republic strives to expand its collaboration with the country. Despite closing many of its embassies worldwide, the Czech Republic in March opened a new embassy in Azerbaijan. Radek Jon, the leader of the junior government coalition partner Public Affairs, said on Monday that the government should include the bill on public tenders in the reform package to which it will link its future when it asks Parliament for a vote of confidence in June. Mr. Jon said that unless the cabinet undergoes further personnel changes and approves the new law on public tenders, his party would not be willing to vote in favor of the government's reform proposals. The proposed change in legislation aims to make public tenders more transparent and thus help fight corruption. According to a fresh survey by the STEM agency, the satisfaction of Czechs with their country's membership in the EU has reached an all-time low. Exactly half of the respondents polled said that they were pleased that their country was a member of the Union, the lowest figure yet since the Czech Republic joined the EU in 2004. 69% of the 1,286 respondents answered that they believed the Union's decisions lacked direction, while only 48% said they would vote to join the EU again if a referendum was held today. In 2004's referendum, over 77% of Czechs voted in favor of joining. Former Foreign Minister Cyril Svoboda said on Monday that his plan to open a private academy of diplomacy should also attract students from abroad to the Czech Republic. He added that his academy would not be in competition with the Foreign Ministry's Academy of Diplomacy, where the country's future diplomats are educated. Mr. Svoboda said that Stefan Fiele, the European Commissioner for Enlargement and European Neighborhood Policy, as well as Mr. Fiele's predecessor Vladimir Spidla, had already pledged their support for the new academy. And now for a brief look at the weather. The conditions over the coming days are expected to be very sunny and warm, with daytime highs of up to 25 degrees Celsius. My name is Sarah Baruska, and this brings us to the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. In today's program, Czech police have confirmed the arrest of a foreign national, a terrorism suspect, raising fears the Czech Republic is being used as a logistics base. We'll have the latest from the Ice Hockey World Championships, as well as other sports news. And a little later in the program, meet a photographer who recently had a hit on the internet with a panoramic picture of Prague's historic Strahov Library.
I wanted to spend a few days working on an image that would be really spectacular, because this place is truly amazing.
That's all ahead. Czech police on Sunday confirmed the recent arrest of a Pakistani national suspected of murder and terrorism. Although few details in the case have so far emerged, the fact that it comes hard on the heels of the arrest of 8 foreign nationals suspected of assisting the radical Islamic organization Sharia Jamaat of Dagestan has fueled fears that the Czech Republic may be serving as a logistics base for terrorist activities elsewhere in the world. Daniela Lazarova has the details.
News of the Pakistani national's arrest was broken by Czech public television on Sunday and confirmed both by the country's interior minister and head of the special anti-organized crime squad which arrested the suspect on an Interpol warrant on April 27th. The 42-year-old Pakistani national is wanted for murder, terrorism and a number of other charges. He is currently in detention and refuses to talk. According to the head of the anti-organized crime squad, Robert Schlachta, the suspect arrived in the Czech Republic from another site in Europe roughly a month ago, most likely with the intention of finding a safe haven somewhere in Central Europe.
Man was arrested on an Interpol warrant issued by Pakistan. We have no information which would suggest that he was planning to engage in any kind of terrorist activity on Czech territory. From the way things look, he simply wanted to stay here.
The suspect is currently in detention and expected to file for political asylum. He is refusing to cooperate with the authorities, and investigators say they have no information on the specific crimes he stands accused of. The Czech Republic is now waiting for Pakistan to ask for his extradition. Interior Minister Jan Kubice says the Pakistani authorities have 40 days in which to do so.
If they ask for the suspect's extradition, they will have to provide a file on the man documenting what he is accused of and what kind of evidence has been collected against him. After that, his fate will be decided by a Czech court.
The Interior Minister says that there is no connection between the arrest of the Pakistani and that of 8 other people suspected of assisting a radical Islamic organization in Dagestan. However, news of 2 such arrests in the month of April have fueled speculation that the country's geographic location, open-door policy and liberal laws make it a suitable logistics base for terrorist operations elsewhere in the world. Police President Petr Lessy last week called for the Czech Interior Ministry to present to Parliament an amendment to the law which would introduce stricter punishment for terrorist-related crimes such as document fraud and illegal trade in weapons.
Daniela Lazarova reporting there, and of course, keep up to date with the latest news on Radio Prague by visiting our website radio.cz. We turn now for all the latest results in sport. Let's begin with ice hockey, and the Czech hockey team will finish top in the qualification round at the Ice Hockey World Championships after winning their 4th and 5th straight games in the tournament on Friday and Sunday. On Friday, the Czechs added to host Slovakia's Wolves, winning 3-2, and 2 days later they won again against Russia by the same score. Of the 2 games, the match against Russia was the tougher affair, although the Czech Republic controlled the puck and began better, jumping in the first period to a quick 2-0 lead on goals by captain Rolinek and Jaromír Jágr. The Russians fought hard. Most controversially, the 196-centimeter tall, 112-kilogram Yevgeny Artyukin went on a hitting spree midway through the game, targeting 3 Czech players, injuring 2 of them, left winger Milan Michalek and defenseman Karel Rachunek. Neither player completed the match. When Russia pulled within 1 goal, the Czechs were able to respond, though. Tomáš Blekanec was taken down on a breakaway in front of the Russian goalie and consequently awarded a penalty shot, which he converted. The score, 3-1. The Russians would score 1 more in the final period, but the Czechs would hang on. After the match, here's what the Czech goalie Ondřej Pavelec had to say.
Each win increases your confidence, and I'm glad we took this game and that we remain unbeaten. But of course, the toughest match is still ahead, and we have to prepare for it. I'm happy we won this one. It wasn't easy, and I hope our run will continue.
And the Czech team will play one more match in Group E on Monday against Germany before moving on to the elimination rounds. Turning to tennis in Madrid at the weekend, 21-year-old tennis player Petra Kvitová won her third ATP title this season, a run which for the first time in her career places the player in the 10th spot in the women's top 10. Over the last 12 months, she has moved remarkably up from 62nd spot. The tournament in Madrid saw Kvitová down players like world number 5, Azarenka, 6th seed Lina, and world number 3, Zvonareva. Kvitová becomes only the 6th Czech female player to make the top 10, following players like Navratilova, Novotná, and Vaidisheva. Her complete record for 2011 so far has been 25 matches won and only 5 lost. In football, league leader Plzeň recovered from a recent show of poorer form to defeat Mladá Boleslav to remain 3 points ahead of their nearest rivals, Sparta Prague. The team clinched a 3-1 win and received praise from visiting now-retired football legend Pavel Nedved in the Czech Republic to launch a new publication of his memoirs. Plzeň's win was mandatory for the club, considering a day earlier Sparta had pulled within a single point by defeating Liberec. And in international football news, Sunday saw a key matchup between Manchester United and London club Chelsea, home to star keeper Petr Cech, which effectively decided this year's Premier League title race. As the goalie admitted on his personal website after the game, Chelsea is now out of the running. The side was defeated at Old Trafford by a score of 2-1. Both goals came on mistakes in the Chelsea defence, the first strike in just 36 seconds. And although Chelsea were able to get one back by Lampard, it was Manchester who looked masterful throughout the match, making the finish almost a foregone conclusion. United now only need one more point in 2 games to take the title, leaving the defending champions in the dust. And that's all the sport for today. The name of the station is Radio Prague, where it's now time for our main feature. Meet Jeffrey Martin, a young photographer from the U.S. who recently enjoyed international success with a spherical photograph of the interior of one of Europe's most valuable libraries. That's at Strahov Monastery in Prague. He's Ian Willoughby's guest in this week's edition of One on One.
Jeffrey Martin recently scored a hit on the internet with a stunning 360-degree photograph of the Philosophical Hall at the library at Strahov Monastery in Prague. In fact, his 40-gigapixel panoramic picture of the beautiful Baroque structure, which users can zoom in and out of on their computer screen, is believed to be the largest indoor photograph ever taken. Martin, an American in his mid-30s, has been living in the Czech capital for 12 years. When we spoke at an outdoor cafe in the city recently, I asked him how he'd first gotten into the field of panoramic photography.
I got into that nearly 10 years ago when I got my first digital camera. It had a panoramic mode that I guess all digital cameras do. So sort of a breakthrough for me, having used only film, the idea that you could, you know, kind of fuse two photos together.
And was that technology in its infancy then? I'm not sure when I first saw my first panoramic photograph, but it would have been probably 8 years ago.
Yeah, it sort of was. Especially this sort of built-in software in the cameras, very rudimentary, and even the most technically proficient types of software from back then were very basic compared to what we've got now.
And if you could explain briefly, how is it done?
In the case of these very, very large photos that I make, I take a few hundred or a few thousand images that are overlapping, and then they're fed into a computer program which analyzes the overlapping bits and figures out exactly how they fit together. And that's all. And then so then they're joined, hopefully, into a complete sphere, encompassing everything that you're seeing around you.
How high is the resolution of the individual photographs that you use?
I use a regular professional SLR camera, so the one that I've got is 18 megapixels.
I guess you don't just stand there and take photograph after photograph. You've got some kind of a robot assistant.
Yeah, I do. I have a device that allows me to set exactly how much the camera should turn each time, but that doesn't let me sit back with a cocktail while it's shooting. I have to usually pay close attention that it is working properly, and in some cases make sure that it is, you know, maybe I even have to focus the camera each time, so it can be very difficult, actually, even considering the fact that the robot's moving things for me.
Once you've taken all these pictures, how long does it take you to then put them all together?
It depends on the job and how perfect it has to be in the end, but it's usually a few weeks of work. First, I convert the images from a raw format into something that's viewable, and then I have to fit them all together. And then it usually doesn't fit perfectly, so I have to fix a few bits manually or work with the panoramic imaging program to fix these parts.
What do you use these pictures for? What are they used for? I mean, how does your business work?
Well, my company is 360cities.net. We are primarily a community of panoramic photographers, and we provide a platform and publishing system for these types of images, these spherical 360-degree images. And we have advertising revenue. We have site memberships, so people pay for certain privileges of publishing these images. And then we also license some of these images to various clients, including advertising and industry. So in the case of these very large gigapixel images, they've been licensed quite a few times for various advertising campaigns, things like that.
How important is the aesthetic aspect? Because I've got to say, a lot of these photos are simply beautiful.
Right, that's one sort of differentiator between us and something like Google Street View, which is the same type of image, but that's meant as a navigation tool more than something to be enjoyed. So our images are quite enjoyable, and especially for things like advertising or websites, they're very attractive for people to use.
Of the photos you've done to date, which in particular have been memorable or you've considered great achievements?
Well, these very large ones, of course, are easy to call great achievements because of the scale, and they're very challenging technically. So, of course, I'm very proud of those, and they're easy to make headlines about. They get traffic on the web, so I'm always tempted to make more of these. And I've done more low-resolution spherical panoramas. I went to Havana 3 years ago, exactly, actually. And I spent about 10 days there shooting a lot of panoramics, and I'm very proud of these images. I think it's an interesting portrait of a, you know, sort of unique place in the world from a certain time.
At the end of March, you came out with an amazing photograph of the Philosophical Hall at the Strahov Library. How did that picture come about?
It was an idea that I had since seeing this place for the first time, and I had been thinking about this for a few years, how to make a very, very high-resolution image of this place. So first we made an appointment. I guess you can make a private tour by appointment for a fixed amount of money, so we booked a few hours, and I went there and I shot the other room, the theological library. The philosophical library was being reconstructed at that time, being fixed up. So I released a 2 or 3 gigapixel image of the theological library, and then I made another appointment to go back to the philosophical hall. And after a day of shooting, I realized that I wouldn't be able to shoot the resolution that this place deserved. It's such a special place that I wanted to spend a few days working on an image that would be really spectacular, because this place is truly amazing. So I spent a total of about 5 days in the Philosophical Library, and I would like to thank Strahov Library for letting me do that, and I'm very happy with the result. I'm very proud of how it turned out, and I'm glad that, you know, people who will never have a chance to go there will get to see it and zoom all the way into the books and everything else.
Well, they could probably see more by not going, just by looking at your photograph.
That's true, yes. And that's one complaint that some people have. But as a counter-argument, it's true that you can zoom in and see even more than you could if you were there in person. But being there in person is a very magical feeling that you cannot get with any photo, no matter how 3D or high resolution you get. It's just never the same as being there and experiencing it.
But what do people complain about? What's the complaint?
We had one interesting case when we were selling virtual tours, and we were allowing our members on the website to go to different businesses and to sell them a virtual tour, which means a series of panoramic images that are linked together with a map and one guy in Germany, he made a fantastic tour of an airplane museum. So there was a huge hall with 20 or 30 airplanes, and you could click to go inside each one, and you could virtually sit inside the cockpit of some antique airplane, and then go outside again and go to a different airplane. And it was really fantastic. And the owners of the museum made us take it down. They were very angry. They thought that if this was online, that nobody would ever come to the museum ever again. And it's quite silly, and it's unfortunate. And I think the general opinion about this is slowly changing, and this is not the majority of what people think.
Getting back to your Strahov Library photograph, that was featured on Wired. It was a big hit on the internet. What did that exposure mean to you?
In a business sense, of course. It's great to get that kind of exposure, and a lot of people in different industries get a chance to know about us and our business. So from that perspective, it was fantastic. And personally, of course, I really appreciate that people get to, you know, enjoy this, and I'm proud that I get to expose a, you know, fantastic place. I guess there's an element of adventure to making images like this and you know, sharing it with the world.
Looking to the future, or maybe not even to the future, just to your imagination, is there any subject that you would absolutely love to photograph and to make a panoramic picture of?
It would be great to do the Sistine Chapel, I think, because the artwork there is truly amazing. So that would be something I think I would like to do in my life. Otherwise, it would be interesting to photograph North Korea before it changes too much. Similar to photographing Cuba, it's a place that's sort of frozen in time, so I would be very fascinated to witness that place and to capture it before it changes.
And is there any site here in the Czech Republic you'd like to photograph?
I've photographed this Church of Bones, but I end up going back there when I find a new technology.
That's in Kutná Hora.
Yeah, the Sedlec Ossuary in Kutná Hora. So I photographed that a few times, but I find myself going back there again and again to make it even better. And another place, I don't know, I always enjoy photographing these kind of town squares, these anonymous little town squares that you know, I passed through by mistake, and you know, those are very lovely. I always like shooting those in the Czech Republic.
That was photographer Jeffrey Martin talking to Ian Willoughby in this week's edition of One on One. And if you're interested, you can find a link to Martin's panoramic image at Radio Prague's website. We're now in the final portion of today's program, where we have only one more feature for you, but it's one that is enjoyed by many of our listeners. I'm talking, of course, about Soundcheck, and this edition is by Daniela Lazarova.
Welcome to this edition of Soundcheck, in which you can learn Czech phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is sung by the Eben brothers and is called Já na tom dělám, I'm working on it. And that is the phrase to listen out for today. Já na tom dělám, já na tom makám are two phrases that mean exactly the same thing. I'm working on it, except the latter is a slang expression. There are plenty of work-related expressions in Czech. If someone is working hard, you can say dělá jako šroub, he's working as hard as a screw, or ten se otáčí, which means literally he's really spinning. But you can also just say ten maká. You may be up to your eyes in work, but in Czech you need to say the work is over your head instead, mám práce nad hlavu. And if you're working non-stop, you can tell your boss that you're working od nevidím do nevidím, from when you can't see to when you can't see, meaning from dawn till dusk. Another way of saying that you're working very hard is to say dru. Dru od rana do večera means I toil from morning till night. There is also a Czech equivalent of the English saying he's working as hard as a horse, dře jako kůň. If you hear that someone is a dříč, it means he's a hard worker, or else a student who has to work very hard in order to make up for a lack of talent. Have another listen to the audio.
Já na tom dělám, já na tom makám, už na tom dělám před týden na volno, ne a ne a ne, já na tom dělám, já na tom makám.
So, remember that when someone asks you what's with the work you were supposed to hand in yesterday and which you still don't have, the phrase you need is já na tom dělám or já na tom makám to a very close friend. And if something is proving extremely hard to accomplish, then you can say je to makačka, which I'm sure is an apt description of today's Czech lesson. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me and naschledanou.
Někdo zaklepal u našich dveří, nějaký frajeři, divný frajeři, jestli můžou dát jenom na chvíli, že by si rádi promluvili. O samotě, já na tom dělám, já na tom makám, už na tom dělám před týden na pono, ne a ne a ne, já na tom dělám, já na tom makám, už na tom sedím přes týden na pono, ne a ne a ne, dělám.
That edition of Soundcheck written and produced by Daniela Lazarová. Before we go, let's have a quick recap of what was in today's program. Czech police confirmed the arrest of a terrorism suspect on Czech soil. We also brought you the latest news from the ice hockey championship in Slovakia, where the Czechs have so far been doing well, fingers crossed. And we had that interview with photographer Jeffrey Martin, the author of a spectacular photograph taken of Prague's Strahov Library, or at the monastery there. We want to thank you for joining us this day. If you have any comments or questions, contact us here at the station by writing to english@radio.cz. Also, you'll find more news and stories at our website, radio.cz. I'm Jan Wellinger for all of us here at Radio Prague. Thank you so much for joining us, and take care.